Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. A guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back on the Civic Media Radio Network from City Deck Landing in Green Bay at WGBW. And a lovely night to talk about drinking and behaviors which are a result of drinking. And Heather Heil is with me. She's the Director of Business Development at the Green Bay Children's Museum. Mm-hmm. And what better person to talk about drinking than someone?
I'm perfect for this bill.
Get her in here. You just told me something during the break, and I don't think I was aware of this.
Oh, okay. So everyone, went down a rabbit hole a couple weeks ago on Facebook. There is a group called the Mrs. Roper Rompers. So anyone of a particular age will remember the "Come and knock on my door." Yeah. Yes, Three's Company, Helen Roper. So people are dressing up like Helen, getting together and having pub crawls. And
just
doing
women or men and
men
women?
Men and women.
Are wearing the muumuu and going yeah,
it's
bar
a caftan and no the big kidding. Jewelry. And some of them are dressing up as the Stanleys. And some of them are just bringing big Stanley cups with them when they are dressed as Mrs. Roper. And there's a whole group on Facebook. You can find this. Do it.
Oh, my gosh. And they're in Green Bay?
They're in Green Bay. It's a national thing.
But Green Bay has a chapter of Ropers?
I don't know yet. I haven't gotten that far yet. If they don't have one, someone please start one.
Wow. Oh, I think you're just
I don't have time to do it, but I would join with you. I would join forces.
All right. You join with me. I'm not going to be.
You could do it.
I could maybe do Stanley. I could pull off the socks with sandals and the binoculars.
Larry, maybe.
Oh, man. Larry's my hero.
I'm just saying.
I have fantasized about meeting Larry and Jack at the Regal Beagle.
Who hasn't?
And scoping chicks. Yes. I mean, that's what I want, honestly. And I always love on Three is Company whenever Larry would just pop in the door with some news and then he'd see something or a compromising position. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jack, the girls are down at the Regal Beagle. Yep. And
yes, so good.
And I loved John Ritter too. I was so sad when he passed away.
Same. Maybe one of the cast is still living. I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Right, Suzanne Summers died. Yeah. Maybe Joyce DeWitt.
Yeah. And maybe Joyce DeWitt
did Mrs.
Still,
Roper die?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, and I think that's kind of what pushed this movement. But if you, take a minute and look up the Mrs. Roper romp, it's like private groups and it's a whole thing. And
I love that.
I want in on this movement.
Conrad, let's do it.
I'm taking a memo right now.
Okay. We're hitting Hagermeister and we're wearing the muumuus and we're gonna roper it up.
All we gotta say is moo when we get in there.
That's right.
Like Tom said.
That's right.
Now, I love it.
Conrad's gotta go watch the Three is Company though, so he knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably
should
do that.
What that is?
He's gonna go, this is what I agreed to?
Now, and also, remember, I mean, it's probably, if you have not seen Three's Company, it's not as, it would never fly now. It's not very PC with, because remember, Jack had to pretend that he was a different orientation to live with the girls.
Correct.
So it was not very.
And he was kind of a hound.
He was a big hound.
But he had to pretend to be gay so that it was acceptable for him to live with two women.
Yeah,
and that was
so
1979.
The Ropers,
Wow. You know what, you're right. I don't think my mom was crazy about us watching that show.
No, absolutely not. No, this is why.
That's crazy.
And now think about that.
And my folks were like progressives. Like they still didn't want, that's how crazy that was in the 70s. And that was California.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mic drop right there. Okay, something for you to think about.
Here's what I want to do.
This is why we're going to support it now. Yeah.
I can't talk about drinking anymore because I'm ready to go off the wagon.
Can I talk about my little museum for a minute?
Yeah, tell us what's going on at the Green Bay Children's Museum, because it's a great museum.
Thank you. So along with the business development, which is basically me just meeting people and talking about our museum and
over
sharing
cocktails.
What we're doing, and usually, and our programming that we do. And one of my personal passions is I love to read books. I always have, as the little girl, loved children's literature. So we do story times at the Children's Museum every Wednesday morning at 9:30. Nice. And people can come in for that. We also have a YouTube channel. So you can go to the YouTube channel and watch the stories for free. So it's
love
access
it
for everyone. So we firmly believe that play is the right of every child. So you have access to watch those stories.
That is really cool. Those of you with parents, I highly recommend that. And how does Green Bay's Children's Museum, I've been to the one in Madison. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I've been to Milwaukee's. I assume they have one.
Milwaukee has one. There's five in the state. Ours is in middle of the pack. Okay. We're actually looking at expanding right now. We are hitting our capacity numbers every single weekend, which is a great problem to have. So we're looking at expanding, but that takes money and takes a community to be believing in that. So that's kind of where we're working right now.
I got two words for you. Mm-hmm. Tiki bar.
Build a tiki bar and they will come.
Think about it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, Dan, think it over.
Dan's we got to find there. This basement bar so it can be speakeasy, tiki bar craziness.
Dan's on board. That's awesome. Well, any other big events coming up? Anything you guys got?
This weekend, every Saturday, we have something called a STEAM Saturday, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math. So we do that every Saturday. And this Saturday, the theme is women in science and technology. So we have 11 prominent women from our community who will be there sharing their craft with the kids. So the girls and boys coming in will hopefully be able to see themselves represented in careers not normally considered.
Excellent. That's so cool. And let me ask you this, Heather, is the Children's Museum, do you guys have like a program for people? Does it cost money to get in? Do you open it up to kids that aren't as privileged?
Absolutely. We do. So our standard, we still have to make money. So it is $8 a person. However, again, we believe that play is the right of every child. So if you come in and share with us that you are of a different background or whatever, you're going to come in and play in our museum. We're going to find a way for you to come into our museum.
That's so great. I remember I took my kids to a children's museum when we still lived in Southern California, and they had this giant person, like a model of a human being and all the body parts.
Yes.
Freaked the living daylights out of my kids because they would show you like the innards.
Yes.
And it wasn't graphic, but it was still like, got their imaginations.
And kids do have vivid imaginations.
Oh my gosh.
Always working. And more research, Pete, is showing that 0 to 3 is really where you need to be reading. You need to be, because they're absorbing. That's that brain development.
God, now you tell me.
I know, right? That's where we went wrong. Come on, Mom and Dad.
Go back. All right. Very cool. Well, check that out at the Green Bay Children's Museum. Conrad, does that sound like a wacky Saturday morning?
Yeah, it definitely does.
That's a wacko, wacko, wacko.
Yeah, you could go out because Conrad just moved to Green Bay.
Yes.
Recently. And you could go out, have a nutty night out on the town, and then go and check out the Children's Museum.
Yeah.
That's a great place to bring a date. Don't you think that would make him look sensitive?
Oddly.
I mean, he is sensitive. Yes. But,
so how do you feel about children? They can totally open that conversation.
On a first date.
Yes, listen, perfect.
I think she's running towards the door.
And then next, ask her who she's voting for. Girls love that.
Yeah. we'll tailgate in the parking lot, and then we'll head in for story hour.
Yes. We'll moo at each other when we want another beer.
Oh, man. I'm going to enjoy giving that wedding toast, buddy.
Woo!
We got another text here from Andrew, who's, oh, dear. When does Conrad get a camera? Conrad, the people are talking.
Oh, the people
they
want to
know what
Conrad.
You look like. I would say Conrad is a muscular 5'11".
No.
No? Not muscular 5'11", or not 5'11"?
I'm like 5'9".
Oh, 5'9". Okay.
On a good day.
I could never tell. Did you see this? This guy passed away. He was the tallest
show me.
Man ever. Well, I don't really have a picture of his height. Actually, I do. No, I don't. I've still got the drunk counties up. He was 8 feet and 11 inches tall.
Come on.
He's the tallest guy that ever lived. Robert Wadlow died in 1942 at the age of 22. 8 feet, 11 inches tall.
Is Pete, that verified?
Now that you say that, there's actually a statue of him at the Circus World Museum in Baraboo.
Really?
Yes.
Now, why? They were calling him the Giant of Illinois. Why would that be? Did he move to Wisconsin? I mean, not that. You can't put a statue up of anybody, regardless of geography. But
I'm guessing he just did some shows there or something.
Yeah,
but they have like all the like natural like people that are like too short or too tall or that kind of exhibit.
That is crazy. That's pretty cool though. But doesn't sound. I mean,
does it say when he passed away? Like when is it?
1942.
In 1942.
At the age of 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just. I mean. I can't imagine
being that tall. Wow. Yeah.
And he weighed over 400 pounds. Like he wasn't like bony or.
No, he had some girth to him, but it's still, that's really
crazy.
Quite tall.
So let's talk about movies.
Yes,
you like
please.
Reading hour. You like movies.
I love
kind
to
of
read
an artsy
hour.
Gal.
Mm-hmm.
So, what have you seen? What can you recommend to my listeners?
I am going to tell you, sweet friends.
Okay.
That I have seen almost all of the Oscar-nominated films, as I do each year.
Love it.
And right now, Poor Things is leading the pack for me, hands down.
Your Oscar favorite.
This movie. I love the actors. I didn't really know about the movie other than it was kind of a modern day Frankenstein. It's not really, but just that's the only way I can use to describe it. It was gorgeous. The costumes were amazing. The acting was above and beyond. I mean, Emma Stone.
I mean, and Willem Dafoe's in it, right?
Willem Dafoe
From
is
Appleton,
in it. And it's,
yeah.
There's humor in it. I found myself laughing out loud a lot, which is very rare in a movie theater. It was so fantastic. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous film.
I have to see that.
The director, and the name is escaping me right now, is kind of known for having some slower scenes. So there are a couple slower scenes in the movie, but not, I mean, stay with it. Like it's a longer,
you.
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're watching Oscar films, you know, they're eccentric anyway, and you know that there's going to be all of those elements, but that was definitely my favorite. And can I just say Saltburn? Let's talk about this movie.
Just saying
Conrad,
Saltburn.
Conrad, did you see Saltburn?
Yes.
He loved it for all the wrong reasons.
Oh, yeah. No, I did not love it.
You didn't love it? Tell me why you did not love this movie.
Because he was in the bathtub while he watched it. That was the problem.
No, I didn't like it because it was a weird storyline to me. And when it was kind of predictable to me what happened at the end.
You thought that was predictable?
Yeah.
Well, okay. For spoiler alert's sake, let's say someone dies. I'll just say that. But you could kind of see it coming after that. And we'll talk about this because I want to talk about another movie the same director made. Her name escapes my my mind right now, but it's Promising Young Woman. Have you seen that?
No, I have not seen that one.
Outstanding.
Okay.
And without, there's some weird moments, but it's not as weird as Saltburn.
But no, see, the Saltburn, like, to me, it was cinematically brilliant. The costumes were beautiful. The music alone to me, I loved. There's some really weird stuff that happens, but...
And there was a lot of stuff in there without costumes, too. Okay, we'll be right back. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Who's your favorite character in Old School? What was your favorite scene? A friend of mine texts, I know why my friend Tim refuses to text on the text. He always texts my phone, whatever I'm asking. It's like, you know, it could help the show if you would just text on the text line. But he does it now just because he thinks it's funny. 844-967-2789. That's the number, or you can text in the app. Very easy to do that as well. Let us know your favorite scene from Old School or your favorite character from the 608. Rico from Rock County says, Hank the Tank streaking. I got to say, I was in tears after he wants to stop at KFC. You know, it's so hard. It's a great text, Rico. That's one of my favorite scenes too, because I wanted to cut that scene for the show and play it, but it's not like that's totally... The clips I tend to use in the show are audio-based because it's radio, but that scene is so funny with Will Ferrell, who is completely uninhibited, always has been, in all of his movies. He's not afraid to show his backside, bare, whatever. Very funny scene. And I love Snoop Dogg's reaction to Will Ferrell coming out naked and ruining the party. Great scene, great text. And then my friend Tim says, when the mud wrestling scene where the old guy dies. Yeah, that was funny. I'm not going to give you total kudos, Tim, until you text on the actual text line. So, Conrad, how do you feel about internet ads?
That they're targeting me?
Well, no, here's my issue with internet ads. I feel like I want to pull my hair out When I go to YouTube and I have to sit through 15 seconds of some ridiculous ad, yeah. I literally want to lose it. And that's a flaw on my part. I need to be better because that's not a big deal. 15 seconds. And that's how they make money, is selling ads. My issue is, I remember growing up, TV was a lot of ads. Network television. Then I discovered the internet in the mid-2000s, 2005, 2006, whenever YouTube came up or MySpace or whatever. It was all free. There were no ads. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. And with streaming services as well, there were no ads. But now they're sneaking them in there. So you got to pay more. And sometimes you pay more. Like Prime, I've got ads now on Prime. I'm paying for Prime. Now they're working ads in. It's terrible. I'll pay a couple extra bucks for no ads. And I guess on some of these you can do that. But anyway, my point is, I'm looking for these clips today from Bottle Rocket and Old School. And that 15 seconds, knowing what I know, that you used to not have to sit through that. Or if you want to play a 3-minute song, I have to sit through sometimes 60 seconds of ads for a 3-minute song. That's not worth it. Am I on an island here?
No. I was trying to get those, you know, the swear bleeps so I can bleep over lines.
Yeah.
It's only about 10 seconds worth of the bleep. And I'm watching a 30-second ad for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's what irritates me the most.
Brutal. And they're, most of the time, they're terrible ads.
Yeah.
It's awful. So it's Jennifer Love Hewitt's birthday today, too. She was in an iconic film called I Know What You Did Last Summer that launched a couple careers. I think she was already sort of, she was on Party of Five, I think. She was already on the map. But Freddie Prinze Jr., Ryan Phillippe, in my opinion, one of the worst actors ever. Seems like a nice guy, though. And Sarah Michelle Gellar are in this film. Sarah Michelle Gellar was already kind of established as Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But I don't know. Jennifer Love Hewitt, could she be 44? I don't know. That was a long time ago. Let's see, 97, 24, 27 years ago, she would have been 17. I don't think her age is right. I think she's older than that. Either way, she's celebrating her birthday today. And I thought we would celebrate with her by playing a clip from I Know What You Did Last Summer. This is sort of the climax of the movie right here.
We're going to fry no matter who takes the fall. Can we leave right now?
No way. Are you crazy?
The grill's busted. There's blood everywhere. We can clean it up. Come on.
Listen to yourselves. No, we are going to the police.
We don't have time for your You understand? We got to move fast.
Hey, let's try to stay calm. Focus.
Don't you get it? If there's some of him on the car, there's some of the car on him. They're going to trace it back to you. You're looking at a hit and run.
Then we dump the body.
You've lost it. Let's just pretend we were never here.
We could drag him to the water and dump him in. They wouldn't find the for weeks. By that time, all the evidence would be washed away.
You found him at all? Currents are strong. The undertow could carry him out to sea.
I won't be any part of it.
There's a scene from I Know What You Did Last Summer, starring the birthday girl, Jenny Love Hewitt. Coming up in just a few minutes, folks, Jeff Cesario, he's an award-winning, Emmy-winning writer and a very funny stand-up who just been around a while. He was on The Old Tonight Show. He wrote for Larry Sanders, the Dennis Miller Live Show, award shows, variety shows, very talented guy, and a native son. Jeff grew up in Kenosha. I'm very excited to have him on the show. Anya Esther will be along a little later, and Jorge Reyna talking about Mad Unity and what's coming up tonight. Who is the funniest old school character, or what was your favorite scene? That's our question tonight. 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. Do we have a time for another old school clip, Conrad?
Yeah, we could.
Do you have the one? Did I send you the one where Frank is freaking out in the locker room?
No.
Okay. I should have, because that scene, and I Know What You Did Last Summer, that reminded me, one of them said, "We can't freak out." Will Ferrell has the same line in Old School when he starts slamming the chair against the lockers. Let's go with an old school. It surprised me.
Well, I guess deep down, I'm feeling a little confused. I mean, suddenly, you get married and you're supposed to be this entirely different guy. I don't I don't feel different. I mean, take yesterday, for example. We were out at the Olive Garden for dinner, which was lovely. And I happened to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order, and I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties. Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started thinking, well, maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know? And I started feeling at you. What? What? I thought we were in the trust tree in the nest. Are we not?
We are.
Okay.
We are. It's okay. Hmm? We are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay. Please, continue.
I don't know where I was going with that. I guess what I'm trying to say is that now that I'm married, I'm definitely feeling a little freaked out about the fact that I'm going to have sex with only one person for the rest of my life.
So great, Will Ferrell. Nobody makes the word underpants is a funny word to begin with, but Will Ferrell makes it even funnier. Here's from the 608 Rico from Rock County again. Hey, Pete, as long as I'm on the Will Ferrell thing, I must say I think the funniest comedy I've seen in recent times, both one and two, is the cast and crew and writing that goes with Daddy's Home. Okay, Rico, I can dig it. A Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. I missed a text I'm just getting to now from the 262. Greg from Waukesha says, I will be happy if you and Conrad can tell me that Shamrock Shakes are officially available at McDonald's today. Love those things. Greg, we can tell you that? I don't know that it's going to be true. Conrad, you got your finger on the pulse, don't you? Shamrock Shake?
Let me go to the Google quick.
Go to the Google. Here's another one from Greg from Waukesha. My grandmother turns 103 today. Yes, that's 103 years old. Still lives in her own house. It gets weird with doctor's offices because they ask her for a date of birth. And we have to say 21 is the year. And they're like, what? That's hilarious.
Shamrock Shakes are back.
You can get one right now?
Yeah.
There's like a Homer Simpson type hologram where Greg is right now. He left so fast to get through his Shamrock Shake. Couple more texts here. From the 920, Jim from Appleton. Like Papa Rico, first thing to pop into my head, the Blues Brothers. That is absolutely, that's like right up there with Caddyshack because you've got more than one Saturday Night Live star on the show. And then from the 414, Tom from New Berlin again, Lovitz. It's missing a T. That's what messed me up. John Lovitz in A League of Their Own when he was recruiting at the beginning. Yeah. Definitely, that's not a vehicle, but he was good. John Lovitz is funny in everything. Totally agree, Tom. Jim from Appleton also. Ghostbusters, Aykroyd, Murray, pure awesomeness. Ramis too. Hey, we've got comedy to get to, folks. I'm very excited to have this next guest on. As some of you may or may not know, I used to be a comedian until the business kicked me to the curb. Joking. But I'm very excited to have another stand-up comic on tonight. He's much more accomplished than I ever could have dreamed to be. He's been on David Letterman. He's at his own Dry Bar special. And he's a very funny guy, Madison-based Johnny Beaner. Johnny, welcome to Nightlight.
Hey, thanks for having me.
This is fun. It's good to meet you.
It's good to meet you, too. Yeah. And it's just a coincidence. I swear I didn't put this up while you were talking, but I've got the vacation poster right next to me.
That's
going to be my contribution to the conversation.
Very nice. Now, everybody, and maybe it's a generational thing, I don't know, but knows Christmas Vacation. And Christmas Vacation is funny, but I the original Vacation to me, yeah, it's a classic, right?
It's one. I mean, it's my go. It's one of the top five go-to comedies of all time for me. I like Christmas Vacation, but the original. You know, my wife brings her favorite is European Vacation, which is funny, but it seems like just a different movie. It doesn't seem to fit. I don't know.
Yeah, there were like two big laughs, in my opinion, that I remember from European Vacation. And other than that, you know, it wasn't like it was bad. It just wasn't quite as enjoyable. Vegas Vacation, I couldn't tell you what's going on. But
yeah, I don't know what happened
then. Hey, so this is great, Johnny. Tell us about, all right, how did you, you're Madison based, right?
I am in Madison right now. Yes, I live in Madison.
Okay.
Been here about 5 years or so.
Okay. And you got your start in Milwaukee?
Got my start in Milwaukee, yes.
Nice. So how, tell us how that happened. When did you start and how did that happen? When did you realize that moment where you're like, I have to do stand-up comedy?
I'm originally from Omaha, Nebraska, and college brought me to Wisconsin. I went to Marquette. And in the summers between, you know, school years, I would go live with my brother, Scott Beener, who after my freshman year, he was living in New York City. He's an actor. He's out in L.A. now, but he was in New York. And so that first summer I stayed with him and he did stand up, just a bringer show. And I thought that was so cool. So I tried it. And that was my first time ever doing it, was at New York Comedy Club. It was a bringer show, did 5 minutes. I ate it, but I thought I killed. So I was like hooked right away. And then I just started putting on my own shows on the campus. And I was on the campus, improv team, the Studio 13 Refugees. So I already had a built-in following because everyone loved the improv team. So when I did these stand-up shows, it would, sell out on campus. And then after I graduated, I started doing the clubs. And that was a rude awakening. You have a crowd of people that don't love you before the show starts.
That's hilarious. We have a very similar story there. I went to DePaul University, did a show, a coffee house show at DePaul. All my friends were there. Of course, they were very supportive. Then I got into a college comedy competition at Zany's against other college students. And a lot more DePaul students were there. So I won. I mean, I thought I did okay, but the crowd was packed. So, and then I did my first open mic out at the Comedy Cottage and I was like, whoa, I'm not as funny as I thought I was,
It's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow because that's part of being a comedian. It's just that delusion that I am funny enough to be, successful as a stand-up. I remember submitting tapes to Comedy Central's Laugh Riots contest, and I was a year in and I got this. And then when I you don't get a call back or you don't get to the next round, you're like, oh, well, it's all network. It's all rigged.
Isn't it funny though? Part of some of the funniest moments from when I was doing stand-up was that naivety on me, but I didn't notice it. But when you see it in other people, it's hilarious. Cause you're like, this poor guy. And you're like, I was that guy, but it's just hilarious. So what year was that when you went to New York and tried it for the first time?
It was June of 99 was my first time ever.
No kidding.
Performing stand-up. And then I graduated college in 02. So that's when I kind of started hitting, the Comedy Cafe and going to Chicago and doing mics there and trying to do local clubs. And then in, I think, 07 is when I went, went full-time stand-up.
No kidding. My guest is Johnny Beener. He's a Madison-based, at the moment anyway, stand-up comedian. Sounds like you've been all over, though. You started in Milwaukee, and it looked like in your bio you lived in L.A. for a while.
We moved to L.A. We lived there for 4 years, but we got three kids, and luckily we got out right before the pandemic.
Oh, no. So you just got back in the last few years. Okay.
It was, I think, July of 19 that we moved to Madison.
Wow. Nice work. How is it doing comedy from, when I did it, I was based in Chicago, pretty centrally located for all the road gigs and that. But, I mean, you're driving no matter what or flying. Yeah. Is it easy to do out of Madison? Is that a good location?
It was easier out of Milwaukee just because it's a bigger, airport. I mean, I'm basically flying to Chicago, wherever I go. If I fly, I have to fly to Chicago and then go where I'm really going. Just because Madison's so small. But it's, I mean, I love, you know, Madison's my favorite place that I've ever lived. It's just such a good fit. It's really cool and I like it. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's central enough in the Midwest to get wherever I want to or need to.
It's a great comedy town. Were you blown away? Like, I remember in the 90s when I did stand up going to Milwaukee, the Comedy Cafe was like some of the best crowd. I don't know if it was something in the drinks they were making or what, but those crowds were just unprecedented.
I know. It was like a spoiler room. You could tape your set on a, you know, on a Thursday and it would be packed. I mean, if you weren't on stage, you were in the way basically. It was just such a
That's
so depressing thinking about those rooms and just how they, you know, aren't that anymore. And I know. Well, now the room's gone, but
yeah, they moved downtown for a while, and I worked that once, like in maybe 2016. I don't know why. I wasn't even really doing stand-up, but they needed a middle act, so I did it. But it was the exact opposite of the club when it was on Brady Street. Like, the crowds were small, and they were kind of like there, whatever. Like, they got passes or something to get in.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of a weird vibe. But what are your favorite clubs to work, Johnny? Where do you like to go?
My favorite club is probably Comedy on State here in Madison.
Nice.
That's another one. It's just a spoiler room. They've got their audiences trained. They're comedy lovers. It's a great club. They run it great. And then, I don't know. I mean, I like the Skyline in Appleton, you know, that's fun. I haven't been there in a while and it's under new ownership. So it's not as easy, but, Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach is another one that's just spoiler room.
Did you ever do the Ice House in Pasadena?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's a good room, or was a good room anyway.
Yeah.
So on your website, it says you're a clean comic, and I know you did a dry bar special. Was that a conscious effort when you started doing stand-up? Did you say, I'm going to work clean, or did it just happen that way? And what are the advantages to working clean?
Well, it's funny because like sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm doing a club, and I don't realize that I was billed as a particularly clean comedian. Sometimes I'll stretch my legs and not be, I mean, I'm by no means dirty. Like I'm not filthy at all, but I mean, I'll talk about, you know, I'll talk about sex very, you know, I like you would about, you know, with your wife and stuff, you know, just like, not like graphic. But it's like, it's very sophomoric humor. And
sure.
So sometimes clubs, I don't realize, you know, oh, I saw the poster. It's like, oh, clean comedy night. Okay. But I've done a lot of corporate shows. And the advantage is that it opens more doors because you can open for big names. They like clean comics, you know, and there's good paying corporate gigs if you can work.
Yeah.
Clean.
Well, and
it's a lot easier to make it dirty than to make a dirty act clean.
That's kind of what I always thought. Like, if you can be funny clean, then I don't care if you're dirty. But if the only way you're funny is by dropping F-bombs or being dirty, you're probably not that funny. I'm generalizing, but that was kind of my opinion, you know.
It's funny. You ever have it where, like, you do a show? Like, I've done it where I'll do a show that I feel like was pretty dirty. Where I'll even have a couple F-bombs slip.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then after the show, some old lady will be like, oh, thank you so much for keeping it clean. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think I did.
Right. Isn't that crazy? Like,
used to, you know,
it's funny. I mean, nowadays people like, and I don't know if this happened when the FCC stopped monitoring TV so well, but like there's F-bombs on network TV now or on FX shows or whatever. So I think the bar has just been lowered so you could still get away with that and be considered clean. Although I don't know what dirty is then, unless you're breaking out photos or something, you know?
I know. I don't know if you're a Peacock. We were watching some reality show. I was watching a show with my wife, Couple to Thruple. I don't know if you've heard of that show.
You watch
Couple to Thruple. But we're watching it and there's just full out new. I mean, it's a reality show. These couples, and there's just boobs and butts. And like, you see people with, you know, night vision, like,
oh, wow,
basically having sex under sheets. And you're like, what the heck? I thought, isn't this basically TV? This is Peacock.
Right.
Whatever.
Now, what was that show again? And talk slowly just so I can. Okay.
Couple to Thruple.
So, okay. So who are your comedic influences, Johnny?
You know, my favorites are like Brian Regan.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan and like old Steve Martin. I mean, I love Bill Burr. I like Louis C.K. I don't know if it's okay to say that.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah. But, and you know, what's funny is like, I've been a huge Brian Regan fan for a long time. And I got to meet him. I was doing a show in somewhere just outside. I can't remember where it was, but, and he would just happen to be billed in the huge room. It was at a casino and Temecula. That's where it was, the Temecula Comedy Club. And I, you know, sent a letter to the hotel, seeing if they could get it to his road manager, just saying, hey, I'd love to come to your show. You know, I'm working the club this weekend. And he was like, well, I'll come to your show. Or I just said I wanted to meet him. He was like, oh, they put aside like 8 tickets for his entourage to come see me.
Oh, wow.
So him and his crew came and watched me do a headline set. And then we just partied until like 3
oh,
in the
that's so
that
fun.
Night. I mean, it was like, holy cow, like, you know, meeting your hero and just being so not being let down at all. And then I've hung out with him a bunch of times since. It's crazy.
That's so great. My guest is Johnny Beaner, and I'll have more with him in coming up next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Still get in on our question of the night. We've had some really good answers so far. What's your favorite movie starring an SNL actor or actress? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. You're welcome to weigh in on just about anything we talk about here, too, on Nightlight. My guest is Johnny Beaner. He's a Madison-based stand-up comedian. We were talking about Brian Regan, and I worked with him 2 weeks in a row right before I left the Midwest. And same deal with you. I was like, I just want to work with this guy. He's so unbelievably funny. And those of you listening, if you don't know who Brian Regan is, Google him, watch his I Walked on the Moon special. He's just a phenomenal comedian. It's so cool that he came to your show. And, you know, I'll just share a quick story, Johnny. When we were in the green room, I found him to be just as funny as when he was on stage. Mm-hmm. He told some... I made a joke that I was the all-time leading pregame scorer at my high school because I didn't get in the game much, so the pregame. And he told a story about how the first it was the first game of the year he was on the basketball team. The band is playing, the crowd's going crazy, and he was first in the layup line, and somebody threw him the ball, and it went off his knee into the crowd, into the band. And I couldn't even catch my breath. I was laughing so hard, and I always wondered, I'm like, his whole act is about feeling like an idiot. And that's what it's so funny and relatable because we've all been there. Yeah. So what did he have advice for you or have you worked with him since you met him? How does that work? That's so cool that you guys are friends.
I haven't worked with him since I met him. I reached out to him when I saw he was in Madison when I was not working that time. And he already had an opener. So he just was like, oh, I'll bring, you know, if you and your wife want to come, I'll put tickets aside. So we went, you know, he brought us backstage and we hung out and then hung out after the show. And then I hung out with him again when I would just happen to be passing through wherever he was. I stopped at the club and he was there and we hung out. But it was just like, it's surreal. I mean, I know he's, you know, it's funny when you're like, oh, if you don't know who Brian Regan is, you got to look him up. And I'm thinking, I'm like, how can everyone not know who he is? He's the funniest person on the planet. I think that like the highlight of my career is the first night when he saw my show and we're drinking, his brother Dennis showed up.
Also very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny. And I'm just sitting at this table listening to Brian Regan retell my jokes to his brother Dennis.
Oh man.
And I'm both cracking up and I'm just like, oh my God, there's nothing better than this. I don't know.
That is so great. That's a surreal like career moment. That's so cool. All right. So you did Letterman and we have a mutual friend, Tom Clark, who I just hung out with in person for the first time a couple of weeks ago. He was in my adopted hometown of Marinette and his wife, Steph, who is also very funny. And Tim Cavanaugh was there too. We had a great time. They were both in town doing separate fundraisers. Yeah. And Tom saw Tim's post on Facebook. It said, I'll be in Marinette, Wisconsin, February 3rd. And Tom, that was the same day Tom was going to be there. And he's like, did I get bumped from a fundraiser? What? Anyway, he told me about you and he said he's been on Letterman. And I'm like, Letterman? And I forget that Letterman's only been off the air less than 10 years. What was that like? I mean, how cool was that doing The Late Show with David Letterman?
Oh, I was so surreal. I mean, and obviously, like, I obviously was like a fallout. The timing was perfect because I reached out to the booker at the time. And he said, yeah, we like it. You know, we'll work with you and try to get it on. And that was before he'd announced he'd retired. And then it kind of got radio silence. And I just kept emailing. And then finally I was like, well, he's retiring. I'm not going to get on. And after the holidays, I was like, well, I'll write him one more time and just say happy holidays. You know, hope everything's okay with the show, whatever. And he wrote back and he's like, hey, can you hop on a phone call today?
Oh,
and I was like, sure. And he was like, hey, are you available, you know, this coming Friday? Or I think it was a week. It was because it was on my daughter's birthday that this happened. It was on January 7th. And I performed on January 14th, 2015. And it aired, you know, the next day because he does two on Thursday. And it was just so quick, which I think is great because I didn't have as much time to be nervous or dreading or second guessing. You know, it was just like, so fast. I ran the set every night and then I went and I talked to enough comedians that had done it that had given me the advice to just, you know, really take it in, not fly through. So I was very with it and aware while I was out there and it was surreal. I was the last new comedian he had on the show. So he had comics after me, but they had all been on before.
That's so incredible. Oh, that's amazing. And your set, we played a teaser clip from it before you came on. You just look so comfortable. Like you never would have even known because you're right. A lot of guys get on there and they talk fast and you could tell they're nervous. And even the mm-hmm. ones that try to temper that, you could still kind of tell they're nervous. But you were like, it was almost like you were taking a mental snapshot the whole time you were up there and just really digging it.
That's exactly what I was doing. I was looking at the crowd and being like, I got to remember this. But I was nervous.
Oh, I'm sure. Know? Of course. Did Dave say anything to you when you were done?
No. And I had been told like, oh, sometimes he walks behind the wall and watches on a monitor. So don't be alarmed. Because there was a bit where I do turn around and I looked at his desk and I saw he wasn't there. And if I hadn't known that, I'd have been like, ah. Oh. He just left.
He took a powder.
Yeah. But no, I didn't talk to him, you know, before or after, but other than what's, you know, on the show when he shook my hand. And so that, you know, it was a great experience. It was fun.
That's so cool. We have a special guest who's just going to pop in for a minute or two and talk about his movie getting distribution. Can you hang for a few through that, Johnny? Sure. And you can even be on the air and ask questions. I mean, I'm not saying to hold, but I'd love to keep you for a few minutes more if you have the time.
Sure, of course.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. And I promise not to ask you too many Letterman questions. Can you tell how envious I am? That's so great. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.